We're not going to have much time to get into the apparel of Christ, but we do have about 10 or 12 minutes. So if you will, at least turn with me to the text, Colossians, the third chapter. We'll read the verses. And again, as a series of sermons, sermon outlines is what this material is. He would, this far into the series, would very quickly go over the other things, the beatitudes of the kingdom, the defilements of the heart, the qualities of love, works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit, and the unity of the Spirit. And you'll notice the six passages as they're summarized. The beatitudes of the kingdom summarize the character and blessedness of those who would be citizens. The defilements of the heart is the source of evil and sin that defiles mankind. Qualities of love indicate the kind of love that is possible in the lives of those who follow Christ. They're from 1 Corinthians 13. The works of the flesh is contrasted with the fruit of the Spirit. They're those things that can prevent one from entering the kingdom of God, as contrasted with those that are born in the life of those who are led by God's Spirit. And then finally, the unity of the Spirit is that which we must be diligent to preserve as children of God. So that gets us to the next passage. Those are the things that we've discussed. And you'll notice it says the second to the last. So we also have the knowledge of Christ from 2 Peter chapter 1. And both of these are a list of lists that are given. And they might even be somewhat repetitive with regard to them and the qualities of love and the fruit of the Spirit. All of these have some of the same material that's contained in them. But the context is a bit different in each of them and will be helpful to us. So look, notice Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12, going through verse 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, seeing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's a very good text that has a lot of good things in it, in addition to the actual list that begins in verse 12 that he has referred to as the apparel of Christ, based on the phrase in verse 12 that these are things that should be put on. So the individual who is in Christ should put these things on, and they are rightly characterized as those things that are of Christ. So apparel of Christ would be an appropriate idea. Lesson consists of three parts: the context, meaning of the various accessories as stated there, and then the application of it. When you talk, first of all, the context, there are a couple of things that are established, and that is that these are Christians that are under consideration here, which makes sense. But it is specifically stated in verse 1 of chapter 3 that you are raised with Christ. If then you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Raised with Christ. By the way, with regard to that, the question might be asked, what does it mean to be raised with Christ? Going back just a few verses in the epistle, there is the context established with regard to this in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 2, where we are buried with Him in baptism, in which you were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. So that an individual is raised in Christ when he comes out of the water. That is the idea. And of course, the principle or the picture of baptism, and this is again why baptism is necessary. An individual is separated from the world and reconciled to God at that point in time. An individual goes into the water to have his sins washed away, rises up as a new creature in Christ, having been raised with Christ. Just as Christ was raised, even so we should rise up and walk in newness of life, as Romans chapter 6 indicates. So Romans 6 would be another good passage to use in conjunction with the text in Colossians 3:1. But even within the the context itself, just a few verses 4 and verse 12. We are buried in baptism and raised with Christ. So, having established that that is the case, once we are raised with Christ, he points out the fact that there are new opportunities that are available to us as newborn babes in Christ. And as this is the case, what happens? Text of John 3:3-5, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And born again, you must be raised to a new life. The idea here is now, once you have been raised with Christ, verse 1 of chapter 3, you're to seek the things which are above. And that would be, well, that would be a really good summary statement. Now that you're a Christian, what do you do? In fact, there's a Leroy Brownlow has a book that some of you may have studied after being converted. It's a book that's given out to a lot of people once they're baptized. Now that I'm a Christian, and it has to do with and now what the responsibilities that I have of a Christian life with regard to attendance and with regard to worship and with regard to giving and with regard to partaking of the Lord's Supper and sharing the gospel with others and my prayer life, and all of those things are talked about. They can all be summarized in that statement: since you have been raised with Christ, now seek those things which are above. That's the fundamental change in your life. Whereas before you were doing what you wanted to do, now you want to do what God up above desires you to do. That's where your focus should be. So why are we to seek things which are above? That's where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. It is a higher calling, and so it is appropriate, as verse 2 says, to set our mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Why is that the case? Because you died. And the idea of being dead now, and notice it says your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is the best, I think, part of the point of baptism as far as the illustration of it. What is baptism? When an individual is baptized, he dies to sin. He's reconciled with God. And so, let's put it this way. Before baptism, you're on the outside looking in. And once you have been baptized, you're on the inside looking out. Now, if the barrier is an opaque barrier where you can't see well through, then that kind of gives a picture of what we're talking about here. Your life is hidden with God. The mysteries, the relationship, what is sustained, is something that can only be experienced and understood and seen when you are reconciled with God. When you're on the outside, it is something you desire. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I need change. And then the change is affected, and now you're on the inside. And now you have that protection that is afforded you as a result of that. Now you have access to the prayer and the study and the relationship that is sustained both with God and with His people. There is such a change and a protection that is afforded you in that. Why in the world would you, from the inside, be trying to reach back to the outside? That's not what living as a Christian is to be. And that's unfortunately why when you talk about worldliness and the pursuit of worldliness, it's called making yourself an enemy of God. It is so counterproductive and contrary to the cause of Christ and to what God expects of you, because basically you have become His and you're hidden with Him, and He gives you protection. And so it's your responsibility in walking worthy to strive to seek the things that are above and to put off that old man. The list again, of course, the character of the new man is mentioned later in that text, but you'll notice there is again a contrast that's given just like in Galatians 5 with the flesh and the spirit. The things that you that were characteristic of the old man, fornication, uncleanness, this is verse 5, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, lying. And then in contrast to that, we find the characters of the new men that begin in verse 12 in our discussion. So the same kind of contrast that was given in Galatians 5 is given here in this text as to what constitutes the worthy walk. And it is referred here in this text as seeking those things which are above. So he points out in the boldness, being raised with Christ should lead to a new mindset. I would add to that, it must lead to a new mindset. If that is not the case, then you are not truly converted. Anybody have any thing they want to add to those first 2 points, A and B under Roman numeral 1? All right, then, since we are out of time now, we will stop there. Pick up on the 12th at letter C on page 22. And it won't take us long to get through those 2 points, but we'll spend the majority of our time next week talking about the apparel itself that begins there in verse 12 and goes to the end. All right. Appreciate you very much, everyone coming today.